Our scripture lesson this morning is of the gospel lesson, St. Luke, the 23rd chapter. St. Luke, the 23rd chapter. And I want to read verses 35 through 43. Will you hear these words? And the people stood by watching, but the leader scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine, and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who was there that hanged, deriding him, saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do not you fear God, since you are under the same condemnation? And indeed have we been condemned justly for what we are getting, what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly, I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Words from a king. Let us pray. Now, gracious God, let the words of my mouth, the meditation, thoughts, desires of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you, dear God, are our rock and our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It will not surprise you when I say that I am a little strange. One of my most recent acts is that I have not missed a moment of the president and vice presidential debates. There are many things that have made an impression upon me. But one of those things is that here are four persons who would give themselves to be leaders of the free world, and they are asked very difficult questions and told you have 2 minutes to respond. Now I will move on and spare you my commentary on who used their 2 minutes the best. There is something about words and the way in which they are used. I can remember growing up that there were some words that my mother said, "I don't want to ever hear you say that again." Words. Words. Dr. William Frank was asked to select the 10 most expressive words in the English language. The 10 most. He came up with these. The most bitter word, alone. The most tragic, death. The most revered, mother. The most beautiful, love. The most cruel, revenge. The most peaceful, tranquil. The saddest, forgotten. The warmest, friendship. The coldest, no. The most comforting, faith. Words. words. They can hurt and they can heal. And yet with all of the words that are available to us, there are some times that we are speechless. I wanted to begin this way because the words of Jesus were always getting him into trouble. When Jesus would say things like, "You've heard it said of old, but I say unto you." For those of you who may know the Sermon on the Mount found in Matthew, those are the words that go against the climate and the culture of that day. They are the words calling people to discipleship. They are the words inviting people to set higher expectations for themselves. They are the words inviting people into a deeper relationship with God and with one another. The words of Jesus were life-changing. They were life-changing, so much so, that Jesus turned the world upside down. And what did he receive for all of this? The cross. It was one commentary that noted, it was the most common and shameful form of execution. It was a tragic death. And the more I read the scripture, I really believe that the high point of this most tragic moment for those who would kill him, the high point was when they could nail him not only to the cross, but put above his head, "This is the King of the Jews." For the enemies of Christ resented. The enemies of Christ resented that he was called Savior. They resented John the Baptist even more when John said, "There is one who is coming who will be the Messiah." They resented Peter when Peter confessed that Jesus was the Son of God. Yes, I believe that it was the greatest moment for those who hated him when they could write, "This is the King of the Jews." And so, let us draw near the cross and realize that it is no accident or by chance that Jesus is there. For the cross is the reckoning when the separation between God and humanity would end. It is at the cross that we can know of life. Let us draw near the cross. Let us draw near the cross and realize that Christ the King is there. Christ the King is there suffering. Christ the King is there with a crown made of thorns. His blood is what sets us free. Let us draw near the cross and hear what words the King will say. I want to suggest that as we hear these words, maybe we need not only hear them for ourselves, but that we hear them for others as well. For this does become the message of the world. From the cross, Jesus says, "Father, forgive them." We need to claim the forgiveness of God in our life, but we also need to share it with others. Robert C. Tuttle told the story of his three children who had an intense disagreement just before they went to bed. It was about 2 a.m. when a tremendous thunderstorm came up, and he heard a noise, and he called up upstairs and said, "What's going on?" His children responded, "We're all here in the closet, forgiving each other." We need to spread that people can be forgiven. We need to spread the word because there is not a one of us who does not know about temptation. Sometimes we may be strong enough to make it through, but there are other times when we are like Paul, who understood the good I want to do, I do it not. And the very thing that I don't want to do, I find myself doing it. For those moments, the words of the King are for us, and they are for others. Father, forgive them. And then the word from the King in response to the plea from a thief. The thief says, "Jesus, remember me." And the word from Jesus is, "I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise." It is just the human side of me. But I've often wondered, what did the thief do to be on the cross? And you know the truth is, it doesn't matter. Jesus says in his response, today you will be with me in paradise. Paradise, by definition, means pleasantness. And it has been described as a place where every tree is in full flower. Every fragrance is pleasant. It sounds so good. And yet the best part of paradise is that Jesus is there. Then we want to be there as well. Winston Churchill shared, "When I die, I want you to play taps. But after playing taps, I want you to play the revelry." Is that it? That's it. "I want you to play it, for it will be the morning. It will be the morning of my life." Somehow the promise of paradise, for all that we face today, there is the promise of paradise for all that we are encountering today. And the words of the song seem to apply so much. There's a bright side somewhere. I told you I was a little strange, and so I wanted us to hear the words, first of all, of Christ. Hear them for our life and hear them for others. And then the strange part of me started thinking that one day I'm invited to a great theological debate. A great theological debate on the theology of Jesus. And I've done all my studying. I have all my paperwork. I've worked on my voice so it would be right. And the cameras just focus on me. And they say, "Who is Jesus?" And you have 2 minutes. And all I can say is, Jesus Christ is King. I yield the rest of my time. Amen today. Amen.